from the dead and gives us new life in this earth, on this earth, but also for all of eternity. He gives us true life, life that's abundant, that lasts forever. Lord, we just pray that you'll help us today as we as an entire church are together to study God's word, think about it, and then put it into our lives so it makes a difference for us and for other people too. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand with me. We'll read Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. And we do this because we want to respect God's word. This is God, what God has written for us. So that's why we read it. And we try to figure out what it's all about and get it into our hearts. So Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. In its first room were the lampstand, the table, and the consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered into the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed, as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. Please be seated. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, we're going to look at the limitations of the old covenant today. You know, not all the things, but a lot of the Old Testament talks about sacrifices and the tabernacle and the temple. And we don't live in that time anymore. We're not under the law. We're under the new covenant. So it's different. And yet it's the same. What helps you to learn? Stop and think for a minute. What helps you to remember stuff? One thing that helps me a lot is repetition. You know, my wife can just, like, memorize scripture. She'll read a passage over and over and over and over, and just in her mind, she can somehow memorize it. But, you know, if I want to memorize something, I've got to write it out, like 100 times, and finally I can remember it for a couple days. But repetition is really good for me. Or maybe it's embarrassment over mistakes that you make. You ever do something that was really silly and you got laughed at? I've done that. And I don't forget. I don't like to be laughed at. So that helps me to remember sometimes to be embarrassed by the mistakes that I make. Or perhaps contrasts, things that are radically different. Those help us to remember, to learn, like something that's black as opposed to something that's white, something that's big in contrast to something that's very small. Contrasts sometimes help us to get it in our minds what is right. Well, Hebrews chapter 9 is set up as a sharp contrast. It contrasts the worship of God under the old covenant with the worship of God under the new covenant. You know, probably when you go home today, you'll say, well, the pastor didn't say this about the tabernacle today. Well, that's by design, because, you know, there are over 50 chapters of the Bible that talk about tabernacle. And so we only are going to be here about half an hour, so there's no way you could include every detail about it, but we'll talk a little bit about it. But the tabernacle in the Old Testament was the way that God set up for his people to worship God. But the tabernacle that's here on earth, that's talked about in the Old Testament, is only a picture. The tabernacle is only a type. The tabernacle is only a shadow of the permanent way that we are going to worship God in heaven. The tabernacle or sanctuary in heaven provides better worship, provides for better worship. That is where Jesus is today. He's in heaven, in the sanctuary. It's a much, much better place than where the priests served, the Old Testament priests served. So I think it would make it crystal clear. You know, there are these people in Rome in the first century who were being chased, being persecuted by evil people, by the government, by unbelievers for their faith. And they were thinking about jumping ship, about going back to the Old Testament, the old way. It would make it crystal clear to them that going back to the old ways, or worshiping God in the Old Testament system, by the Old Testament system, just wouldn't work anymore. It's obsolete. The new way in Christ is much better. So today let's look at five explanations. How many fingers I got? Five, okay. Gus, five, right? Four fingers, one thumb. It was a trick question. All right, five. There's five there on my hand. Good job, though. So five explanations of the limitations of worship under the Old Covenant. The first one is that it was God-ordained, but of this world. God-ordained, but of this world. And now, boys and girls, I'm going to go back and read a verse from the Bible again, because that's the way we preach here. We go back and we read, we make a statement, then we go back and make sure that I got it right, and we try to explain it. So in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1, it says this. Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. So the Old Testament way of worshiping God was in this tabernacle, this tent. God gave it. God set it up. It wasn't bad. God told Moses how to put it together. It was strictly defined and carefully followed by the Jewish people. But the place was made from materials of this world. The location, again, is important in defining this. It was of this creation. It was made, you know, not like our tents. Our tents are made out of nice fabric, aren't they? And they don't stink or anything. Well, the tabernacle was a tent, and it was made out of mostly animal skins, different types of animal skins. But the sanctuary tabernacle in heaven will be set up by God. Be not of this world, not made out of skins. So it'll be a lot better place to worship God. The Old Testament describes the tabernacle as a portable tent. Just like this tent is portable, isn't it? If I want to take this to the campground next week, all I got to do is take it apart and put it in my bag, and I can make it portable. So I'll move it from one place to the next. And the tabernacle was set up that way too. They could take it down and move it. And they would carry this around the desert in order to worship God. The inner part of the tabernacle was 45 feet long, so 45 feet this way, and 15 feet wide, and 15 feet high. So this is probably about, how high would that be? About 15 feet maybe? 12 feet? At least that high if you go all the way from the floor down there. Maybe. So it'd be, you couldn't see over it. So, and it was divided into, this tabernacle I'm talking about was divided into two sections. The holy place, that was 30 feet by 15, and the most holy place that continued on was 15 by 15 and 15 feet high. And God was present there. God gave the men who built it the spiritual wisdom to build it just as he wanted them to. Moses was given a pattern, like a plan, like a blueprint to follow. But it was an earthly building set up by men because it was made of things of this world and at times would need to be maybe stitched, repaired, fixed. It belonged only to the nation of Israel and not to anyone else. This was God ordained for that period of time, but of this world. Secondly, the second limitation of worship under the Old Covenant is the old holy place was temporary but portable. It says in verse 2, a tabernacle was set up. In its first room were the lampstand, the table, and the consecrated bread. This is called the holy place. So there it says in verse 2, the tabernacle was set up. And you know, it was set up again and again and again as they moved this tent from place to place. It was designed that way to be movable. But it had one entrance, just like my tent does. It only has one entrance, doesn't it? One place to get in. One place to get into the tabernacle, one place to get into my tent. It's just like heaven is that way today. Heaven has one entrance. And who is that? Jesus, right? Jesus provides entrance into heaven. And it had three pieces of furniture that all point to Jesus, all point to Jesus Christ. It didn't have any windows like my tent does. My tent has windows, so I can look outside. If I see a skunk or deer or something coming up next to my fence, I know to get out of there. But the tabernacle did not have any windows. But it had a candlestick that provided light. And it looks forward to the day when Jesus would come, because Jesus is the light of the world. He lights our path. Jesus is our light for our path so we don't fall and stumble and break our nose. There's also a table of showbread there. It's designed just for the priest to eat on the Sabbath. It points forward to the day that Jesus would come and Jesus would be the bread of life. He's the bread of life. He's the one who sustains us. He's the one who feeds us. We read the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Jesus feeds us. There's also a third piece of furniture there, an incense altar, where prayers are offered to God. And Jesus intercedes for us. He prays for us today. You know, there are many, many spiritual truths that are wrapped up in the furniture of the tabernacle. But the most important thing that remember is it's always symbolic. It was the shadow, the type, the figure of what was to come, symbolizing the Christ that we know, and not itself. It was not itself the spiritual reality. Jesus Christ in heaven is the real thing. He is the spiritual reality, the ultimate reality. The tabernacle was only temporary, portable, obsolete. That means it would not be good anymore. Third limitation of the Old Testament covenant is the old most holy place was accessible only by the blood of goats and calves. That was your ticket for getting in there. You couldn't get in there any other way. Look at verses 3 through 5. Behind the second curtain is a room called the Most Holy Place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered Ark of the Covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the gold tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. So this 45-foot area is divided into two sections. The first one is 30 feet long. The second one is 15. We've already talked about the bigger space. It's 30 feet long. Now we're going to enter into the one entrance again, into the most holy place. So it's behind the second curtain. And we're just going to talk about one piece of furniture in that place, the Ark of the Covenant. And this ark contained three precious articles. One of them I have kind of up here. It probably didn't look like this, but it was a staff that had budded, Aaron's staff. This is probably bigger, you know, because this would be too big to fit into the ark. But that gives you an idea. It's a staff. It's a piece of wood that budded. It's okay. It won't break. Over the Ark of the Covenant were the cherubim of the glory and the mercy seat. You know, it was there in this most holy place, most holy place, that only the high priest could enter. And that was one time per year. And when the high priest would come into that tent, not this tent, but to the tabernacle, a sacrifice had to be made for his sins, because he was a sinner. And he had fallen short of what God said is right, what God said is holy, and God is holy. And he, on that day of atonement, would make a sacrifice, an animal would die, for the sins of the nation. And you know that what? He would do that next year, and next year, and next year. But Christ was sacrificed one time to take away our sins. The old covenant had an earthly sanctuary with godly pictures and symbols that looked towards Christ. It was made from things of this world and temporary. It never provided true access to God. I mean, only the high priest, one time a year, could have access to God through this system. It wasn't for all nations. It wasn't for all believers. It was restricted, limited to this one guy mainly. And then the other priests would get in the other part of the tabernacle. Fourthly, the old priestly service was never ending and provided only a yearly redemption. Look at verses 6 and 7. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that was only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people, the sins the people had committed in ignorance. So the verb there is regularly. The priests regularly entered into the tabernacle. But it's not like a church today. You know, don't think of the tabernacle as a church. We regularly come to church, too, every Sunday, right? But the people and the other tribes were not permitted in the tabernacle. And only the high priest entered the most holy place. It was off limits to the other priests. And only the high priest entered that area one time per year. In contrast to that, the heavenly tabernacle is open to all people of God at all times. For several years, for 21 years, Cindy and I lived in Europe with our boys. When we went, our boys were your ages. That was the age of our second son, between our second and third. See, our oldest son was 7 and a half when we went. Our youngest was 2. And our middle son was 5, or 4 and a half. So maybe a little bit younger than you guys. But when we went to Prague, there was a guy that served there who was a preacher there named John Huss. And he preached in this building called the Bethlehem Chapel, and it still stands. It's been reconstructed. And he wrote about the mistakes of the Catholic Church. He calls them bludes, B-L-U-D. It means mistake. It's not a nice word for mistake. That's what it means, mistake of the Catholic Church. And one of them is that during the Catholic communion service, Christ is crucified over and over again, so that sacrifice is made over and over again every time they celebrate Catholic communion, which is incorrect. The scriptures say Christ was sacrificed how many times? Once, to take away the sins of many people. Fifthly, and last reasons why this new covenant that we're following is better than the old covenant, is the teaching of the Holy Spirit about the old covenant. The Holy Spirit comes right out here in Paul's, or this writer's writings, and tells us what we should think. Verses 8 through 10 says this: "The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first temple was still standing. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order." So this Old Testament tabernacle, this Old Testament tent, was a visible demonstration by the Holy Spirit. The tabernacle served as a parable or a teaching figure that real freedom of access to God, into God's presence, was not available. It was also teaching that the Old Testament sacrifice never cleansed people from sin and always left this sense of guilt. The sense of guilt was never taken away. So that cleansing that was offered by all these sacrifices that they made in the temple was limited, imperfect, and temporary, looking forward to the day when Jesus would come and pay the final sacrifice for our sins. So all Old Testament saints had to believe in the coming Messiah that would pay for their sins. Are you washed in the blood? It's not by the blood of goats, bulls, or calves that we are washed and made clean from our sins. It's but by the precious blood of Christ. They have two jars up here. This is supposed to be a jar of, you know, dirty stuff. So all the Old Testament sacrifices in the tabernacle, in the temple, could not deal with the problem of sin. Couldn't deal with the problem of guilt that people had for their consciences. So that's what they were left with, a life that looked like that. See it? Would you like to drink that? No, I wouldn't like to drink that. But when we receive Jesus as our Savior, that's how he makes us. He makes us as clean as snow. Would you like to drink that? Yeah. I'll drink some of it right now. Hope nobody put anything in this week. That's the way God looks at us. He looks through us through the sacrifice that Jesus has made on the cross for us, that took this stuff all away and made it clean like this. Clean before God. And therefore, we have access to God today because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Jesus' sacrifice was unblemished. He was a perfect sacrifice for our sins, to take away all that stuff, all of our past, all of our present, all of our future are forgiven by the sacrifice that he's made. Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant that we have, this new way of coming to God. Well, it took a lot of teaching, a lot of repetition, I think, to help these Jewish Christians in Rome to learn that the new testament, new covenant, is better than this old way. The tabernacle, the temple, all the sacrifices, all the food regulations, that's over. They've all been fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. It's a new covenant, a new way. The new covenant is better than the old. What helps you to learn? Is it repetition? Is it embarrassment? Is it contrasts? All those things are used to help you to learn. Maybe you've learned enough today to know that Christ died for your sins, no matter how old you are. Jesus went to the cross and died for you, for your sins, so that he could take away all that stuff and make you just as white as snow, every bit of you as white as snow. That comes through believing in him, putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. It's not by works, but by grace. It's by faith. By faith through grace. By grace through faith, we come to know Jesus as our Savior. That's believing in him. Can you say today that you have eternal life? You know Jesus as your Savior? I hope so. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thanks for the story, again, of how Jesus fulfilled all the stuff in the Old Testament and is alive today. He's the living sacrifice, the living Savior, who is calling us to make a decision, calling us today to come to him and be born again, be saved, have our sins forgiven, to be made new in him. Lord, we just pray that if there's anyone here today that's never made that decision, they'll give their lives to Jesus wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.